Hello everyone, this is Richard with Richard Runs Trails. Hope everyone's doing great. I'd like to do a review of my Dinosaur Valley Endurance Run 100 miler and give you some updates on what I've been doing and how things are going. I'm out here near in one of the parks near a pond. Very nice day, 55 degrees. Not running because my foot is still a little bit injured, swollen. The race was last Saturday. It took me 31 hours, which is a little bit longer than usual for a 100 miler, but I'll explain why. It is a very difficult one. I really think maybe I've done 1100 milers. I've finished 6, and I think it's probably the most difficult one I've had to finish. It's not the most difficult course, but some things came up that I'll talk about. So this race took place in Glen Rose, Texas, which is about 30 minutes south of Fort Worth. Took me about 2.5 hours to get there. I got up early, about 2:30 in the morning, drove up there. Race started at 7. It was cold. It was about 36 degrees. I guess that's a few degrees Celsius. I had my thermal pants, and which are not too thick, good for 30 degree weather. And then I had a thermal shirt on by Hind I've used for many years, and then I had 2 Tech t-shirts on top of that. I've started doing that. I've learned that from the mountain climbers that, you know, layering is really the best way to go. And if you one piece of advice is, if you don't use a coat in a race, because the change in temperature is, it's a big variation in temperature and warmth when you take the coat off or put it on. If you do layering, you can do very minor adjustments in your warmth and protection, which be much more comfortable. And that's what I did, and it worked out real good for me. So the race started out 7 o'clock. It felt cold. But after 5 miles, it was a 1 5-mile loop, and then 11 mile loops. Actually 10 mile loops. After the 5 mile loop, I took off one shirt. So actually I took off one shirt. I had 2 Tech t-shirts on, not 3. And so I had a Tech t-shirt on top of my Hind long sleeve shirt, and that'll be important information later in my discussion, because it got much colder. Felt pretty good. The course is very rocky, a lot like Bandera or J&J. Basically, you're running on rocks the whole race, and that's very tough when you're doing 100 miles, because, you know, 100 miles is a long ways. And so my feet got really beat up. I'm used to that kind of conditions, but in a 100 miler, it makes it even more difficult. Most of the rocky trail races I do are 100K, which is 60 miles, 62 miles. Things went pretty well for me most of the race. When it became nighttime, the temperature dropped even more. And I didn't know this until after the end of the race. One thing that happened was, you know, very interesting, and you got to put it in perspective. I run 100 miles, 60 mile races. So keep that in mind when I talk about my injury and my warmth or my protection. So first, I ran all night long, and I didn't feel cold. I only had 2 shirts on, and I felt like my Tech shirt was a little bit frozen, but I wasn't sweating, and that's the goal, not to sweat, because if you sweat, you're gonna get in big trouble with hypothermia. And so I was not sweating. I had a polyester hat on. I was actually sweating a little bit on my head. And what I would do is, a trick that I do, I highly suggest, is you pull the hat up above your ears to let the heat out. And then when you get cold again, cover your ears again. And that works really well for me. So I went the whole night with just the 2 shirts. And at one point, I remember I was using my Ultra Aspire hydration vest, and I remember trying to get a drink of water, and the valve was making a cracking noise. It means that it froze up. And I was like thinking to myself, it's in the 30s. Why is it freezing up? I didn't think much about it. I mean, I was able to use it. I just had to bite on it a little bit. At the end of the race, when I finished the race, a friend of mine, Steve, he said, do you know, it got down to 22 degrees last night. You know, that's way under zero in Celsius as well. And I ran that whole night in basically two shirts in 22 degrees. I mean, I knew from when I was breathing, I could see the cold air coming out. I knew it was very cold, but I was just, I guess, lack of a better word, in beast mode. I mean, focus and concentration, like I always said. I was focused on the race, and I felt not cold, but not too warm. And that's the way I wanted to be, because it keeps my heart rate low. If you're a little bit cold in a race, your heart rate will be lower, which means you're putting in less effort. So I went the whole race like that, and I was really surprised at the end of the race when he told me it was 22 degrees, because, I mean, at the beginning of the race, I was feeling cold in three shirts at 36 degrees, and then I ran most of the night in 22 degrees. It's just amazing. I think there's so much that we don't know about the human body, how it works, but I ran 8 hours in 22 degrees, and in amount of clothing that I would be very cold in other situations. But there were some people wearing less clothing than me. It's amazing. One thing that came up is about 50K from the finish, my right foot got very sore, and I injured myself above my foot on my front of my shin. After the race, thinking about it, I've had this come up before. It may be caused by my Speed Goats, my Hoka Speed Goat 5s. I may be tight, lacing them too tight. I may have twisted my foot on something, or combination of things. But another thing that I did, which is an error on my part, is I, for the first time, laced the last eyelet in the shoe. And I think that put a squeeze on my lower shin in a way, too tight, and it basically, the whole area got a little bit swollen, or at least it was real bruised. The race was so cold that it really didn't swell up, but after the race it did, and even today, which is 5 days later, it's still a little bit swollen. I can only wear trail shoes. So, interesting thing there is, and you might think I'm a little bit crazy, but with an injury, I decided to keep going at 50K left in the race, 32 miles. And my thought process was I'm not going to DNF this 100 miler. I really take something really big for me to DNF in a race, and I've been able to overcome obstacles in races before, and I've already had 20 hours invested in this race. So, like I always tell you, take your hiking poles to races, and that's what saved me again. I've had lower back problems before, and hiking poles saved me. This time my foot was hurting, and I had 32 miles more to race, or 50K, and once I started using my hiking poles, it slowed me down, but I couldn't feel any pain. I felt fine. And this race, I had banked a lot of time. And this race gives you 34 hours to finish. I think partly because make it a little bit easier on people, but also because it's a more difficult race. And anyways, I finished in 31 hours. Very happy with that. I got a finish. I was injured, and I still finished the race. And I've finished two difficult 100 milers in a row, no DNFs. And I plan to keep doing that. I think I really got the process down. I think my DNF rate on 100 milers will be very low going forward. I don't have much of a DNF rate on 100Ks and lower. I'm finished almost every race I've ever done. But 100 milers, like I say all the time, they're the most difficult distance. Another thing I did in this race is using a new toy, my E66i Garmin. I will show you. This is very neat. It's a satellite communicator. It's about the size of a phone, and it's got a 3-inch map screen on the front. This is very neat. It gives me the capability to contact my family or Garmin Search and Rescue via the Iridium satellites. So there's a satellite communicator. And so I've got preset messages in here. And like, I'm starting my journey, I'm okay, just checking in. And with the push of a button, I'm able to send a message to all of my contacts, which are set up in Garmin Explorer on my computer. So you can see the screen here, it's got a color screen. So I can go to messaging and real quickly send a message via satellite to my whole family, because in a lot of races don't have much of a phone signal or no phone signal at all. Now I'm always in contact with everyone. And you can see here on the right, this very large button, it's got a shroud on it. If I take that shroud off and push that button, that's an SOS communicator. It connects me with Garmin SOS headquarters. I forget what they call it, but they will immediately send a rescue team to get me. And every message that I send, every message I send to anyone, it has my GPS coordinates and a link to a map. So if you click on that link in the text message that sends you, the people receiving the message, it looks like a text message on your phone. And you can click on that link and it'll pull up on a map, a very detailed map showing you exactly where I am. So it's kind of interesting for my family to follow along where I'm at. So they can pull in and zoom in on the map, you know, see creeks and rivers and, you know, all kinds of things. So it's a really nice toy. It's about the size of a phone, cell phone, a little bit heavier. But the nice thing is it's very well protected. I can drop it. It can go in water 3 feet for up to 30 minutes. And another thing I like about it, it's got real buttons on it. They're really old school. So it's really made for crazy people like me that are a long time in the wilderness, or people doing expeditions, because you don't have to touch the screen. You don't have to take off your glove. It's got the big buttons. You know, you can zoom in or do things. You keep your gloves on. So it's really cool, I think. You need a subscription to use it. I mean, it's not cheap, but I think it's a great tool, and it's something I probably should have got a long time ago, because I'm doing longer and longer races, more remote. If I get in trouble, bit by a snake, or fall down a mountain, this thing might save my life. So very happy with the E66i. It's got a built-in flashlight, built-in digital compass. If I get lost, it'll tell me how to get out of the forest. You know, it's pretty cool. I mean, my watch does some, I mean, I have a Garmin Fenix watch 6S, and it does some of the same functions, but it doesn't have SOS capability, and I can't send messages via satellite. And people can also reply to me via satellite too, so it's pretty cool. What else about this thing? Anyways, great toy. Highly suggest it. They make smaller devices. One thing I like about this one is I can use it independent of my iPhone. I don't need it. My last race, I didn't carry my phone, because, you know, my phone is my personal device, and I don't want it to get wet and, you know, dripping hydration on it. Usually in a race, I always turn my iPhone off and put it in a plastic bag, because if you keep it on and you touch it and the screen powers on and off, you'll run your battery down, and I'm out there, you know, almost 30 hours. So the iPhone wouldn't work for me. I did look into the iPhone 14. I know it has SOS feature, but I saw some reports it doesn't work very well. It gets blocked by trees and stuff. You have to kind of hold it up, you know, point it to a satellite. And another thing I didn't like about it is it's only for SOS. You cannot send messages to people via satellite like I can with this one. Garmin also has some smaller devices, such as the InReach Mini, but you have to pair it with your iPhone or your Android phone. I don't like that. I wanted something I can use independent and don't carry my phone. So my last 100-mile race, I didn't carry my phone. I only carried my Garmin. So it worked out really well. So I'm really happy with it. So that's the E66i. Another thing that's going on, my son got a new computer. New i9, you know, screaming fast. He's a big time gamer. How that relates to me running, well, I plan to use his old computer, which is an i6, still a very powerful computer, but wasn't fast enough for him. I'm going to put it in the garage, and it's going to power my streaming for my gym. So I'm kind of excited about that. So I'm going to have a, because before I was taking a laptop out there and just didn't have enough power. So I'm going to take that i6 desktop out in the garage, and I'm going to have permanent streaming set up. So I'll be do a lot more gym workouts live and interact with my friends on YouTube a little bit better. So I plan to set that up in the next week or two. Race is coming up. I have another race coming up on December 10th, which is very soon. I hope I can heal my foot by then. It's going to be very close, but it's a little bit different one. It's a last man standing race. I've never done one of those before. It's a 4.2 mile loop. It's up on the Texas border, and the way the work are is you're running 4.2 mile loop, and you have 1 hour to finish. So if you finish in 50 minutes, you got 10 minutes rest. Then you got to be on the starting line at the beginning of the hour to go again. And it can keep going for hours or days to the last person standing, last person to give up. So it'd be interesting. I've never done one of those before. I just want to go out there for fun and do it and see how far I can go, but I'm not going to push myself too hard. And if I have this injury still, I may skip it, but usually I've never missed a race before. I'm confident that I should be able to do something there. So I got that on December 10th. Then around January 9th, I have Bandera 100. I'm real excited about that. That's going to be my sixth time I've done that race. It's one of my favorite races in Texas. And there's a bunch of cool pros showing up. Courtney DeWalter will be out there and some others. So it's going to be fun. It's sponsored by Kraft this year. Then I'm hoping to run sub 17 so I can qualify for Western States again. Interesting thing, the Western States lottery, I think, is on December 4th. And I saw the statistics this morning. I have four tickets in the race, four tickets in the lottery. So I have like a 3.9% chance of getting in the race for 2023. So let's see. But if I don't get in the race, I'm going to try to qualify again at Bandera. If I don't qualify at Bandera, I've got Rocky Raccoon 100 miler the beginning of February. That's another qualifier. However, if I qualify at Bandera, I will drop down to the 100K at Rocky Raccoon. No reason to run a 100 miler out there if I qualify already. And I've done the 100 miler out there before. Towards the end of February, have Run Love It. Last year, I DNF'd at 100K. It's one of the toughest races in the South USA. It's up in northern Arkansas. So I'm going to finish it this year. I know what I did wrong last year. So it's a real tough one, end of February. So that's really, could be my next 100 miler. Let's see. And then I don't have anything in March, April, but then in May I have Cruel Jewel 100, which is probably one of the toughest ultras in the US. It's got 30,000 feet of climbing. It's in northern Georgia. So that's my A race for next year, unless I get into Western States. So if I get in Western States, I have that race in June. I'm not sure what I'll do in the fall of next year. I really want to do Pinhoti, which is in Alabama. I've never done that one before. I think that one's in November. So let's see. There's also a race in Kansas that I'm looking at. It's a 140 miler, but they give you a bunch of time to finish. It's about 10-hour drive from where I live. That one's called the Hell Creek 140 miler. I've never heard it before, but I saw it on Ultra Sign Up. I might do that one. That one's in September. So that would be the longest race I've ever done. Let's see. Hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving, and I wish everyone a happy holidays. Next week I'm going to the running event, the TRE show. I went there last year. It's in Austin every year. So all the big shoe vendors will be there. I know Ultra Running Man Dean Karnaz is going to be there, so I'm hoping to get a selfie with him and get a book from him. He's got his new book. I think it's called Sunday or something. There's always a bunch of pros and famous YouTubers there at the show, so I'm excited about that. So that's next Tuesday and Wednesday. Anyways, bye for now. Thanks for watching.